Want to turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 40. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. I want to talk to you today about the long wait. Are you like me? Get impatient sometimes when you're waiting for something that you're excited about or something that you need. You know, there's so many different things that we can get sick of waiting for. But we're going to explore that a little bit today in the next few minutes. Okay, maybe a half hour or more. Okay, beginning to read in verse 1 of Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voices with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look into your word, we open our hearts and our minds today. Pray that they be receptive. We pray, Lord, that as I bring this word today, that you just step forth and reveal yourself. Put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we enter this Advent season, we focus on the birth of our Savior, and as always, we can't look at the first coming of Christ without looking forward to the second coming of Christ. One equates to the other. We can't look at the second coming of Christ without looking at the first coming of Christ. So, this morning, this first Advent Sunday on December 1, 2024, we're going to explore this whole idea of waiting. The problem with many believers is that it's a long wait, as we have been looking forward to Christ's return in the second coming. I have run into people, a lot of people, in the last over four decades that I've been walking with Christ. I've run into a lot of people that have said, when I've witnessed to them about Christ, oh, I tried that this many years ago or that many years ago. And they said, well, it just didn't work for me. And when I say, well, Christ is going to return, the response many times is, well, yeah, they've been saying that for a long time. In other words, I'm tired of waiting. I gave up. I don't believe it anymore. That's a sad day. For a person to throw away their faith because of the fact that it's taking longer than they thought it should take. Well, ultimately, God is in control. He is in charge. He has the master plan. And it's not up to us the timing of anything. That's why I think that's the main reason we don't know the day or the hour that the trumpet's going to blow and he's going to return for his bride. Because God wants us to just keep our eyes on him as the author and perfecter of our faith. We celebrate the birth of our Savior year after year. And we preach about the second coming year after year. Many people, it seems, begin to lose their faith because the wait is so long. In this message, the intent is to encourage you not to give up. I like to catch when I can on Sunday mornings a preacher by the name of Jensen Franklin. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Dude's the real deal. Okay? So I love to catch him. And ironically, this morning, he made a statement that made me go, what? And it was a statement that I will carry with me for the rest of my life, I guarantee you. Simple truth, but a truth. He said this, if God puts you on hold, don't hang up. That's a quote by Jensen Franklin. He said, when God puts you on hold, if God puts you on hold, don't hang up. See, what I was just talking about in the opening of this message, and so many people I've run into, that's what we're talking about. They hung up. They reached a place where they said, well, it's been too long. I don't believe it anymore. And they hung up because God had put them on hold. Well, in that sense, we are all on hold. And I repeat what Jensen Franklin said today to his congregation. Don't hang up. Don't give up. God's ways are not our ways. We're told that in the Word of God. His ways are higher than our ways. Amen? So, our first major point that we want to look at is Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, recorded in Matthew 6, verse 10, your kingdom come. And he said, this is the way that we should pray. Well, if we are supposed to pray, your kingdom come, then we need to get over ourselves. It's not our kingdom. We don't have a right to give up on God, and he don't give up on us. We don't have a right to hang up because we've been put on hold. When God says, wait, we need to be willing to wait. He's provided all we need for this wait. He's going to come again. Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow. You realize most everything that has to happen has happened for his return. He could return anytime. People say, well, yeah, they've been saying that for a long time. Yeah, but the people that were saying that years ago were speaking out of turn because then not everything had happened that needed to happen for his return. Are you with me? Now, we're in a situation where he could return any time because the prophecies that needed to be fulfilled before his return have been fulfilled. Because of the internet, the word has been spread everywhere. That's something that had to happen. And it has happened. It's been spread everywhere. So, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are the words that we were told to pray. Well, if we're going to pray that, then we better live it. If we're going to pray something, we better live it. Jesus' birth was God's will embodied in the flesh. When Jesus came and was born as a child through a virgin woman's womb named Mary. That was clearly God's will. One little boy said to his Sunday school teacher that Jesus is God with skin on. Well, the little guy had it right. That's right. That's what God did. He had, and we just sung about that in our worship. We sung about those ideas. God's powerful reign coming to earth. Jesus came to set up his kingdom. He had to come to set up his kingdom. He had to first pay the price for sin that came into the earth. Sin came into the world through one man, Adam, right? Jesus is referred to in many times as the second Adam. The first Adam failed, the second Adam got her done. So God's powerful reign coming to earth. But he's got to return. He's going to return for his bride. And we are told to tarry. If we are truly tarrying as we wait for his second coming, for his return for us, that means we don't hang up. Well, yeah. I'm going to have to write an email or something to Jensen Franklin and tell him, thank you, man. That just fit right into my message today. God's rule demonstrated and fulfilled in his coming. Second major idea I want to look at is Abraham and Sarah's descendants waited a long time for the fulfillment of the promised Messiah's coming. So they anticipated the day of Yahweh, the God of the covenant. The God of the covenant. Yahweh really means I am, or he is. That's what the name Yahweh means. And as I shared a few weeks ago when we were talking about Yahweh a little bit, I mentioned to you that the Jews would not even pronounce the name Yahweh in its entirety because that name was so holy to them, they didn't feel like they had a right to speak that whole name out loud, so they just called him Yah. They wouldn't even pronounce the whole name out loud. The God of the covenant. They anticipated Israel's deliverance from bondage to its enemies. Can you imagine what it was like to be in bondage for 400 years? And prophecy says that they're going to be delivered. How many of them do you think hung up? I'm saying most of them, if not all. Because 400 years is quite some time. Israel returned in great numbers from captivity in Babylon and expected God to restore the nation to what it had been in the golden years under David. They expected that to happen. They rebuilt the walls in Jerusalem. They rededicated themselves to Yahweh, the God of the covenant that they were under. Then they begin to ask, why isn't the Messiah coming? When will the promised day arrive? We can kind of get it, can't we? I don't know about you, but the crazy things that are happening in this world make me feel like more and more I'm a stranger here and I'm just passing through. And makes me think more and more, it'd be just fine if the Lord returned today or tomorrow. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, myself included, you guys, what about the ones that are lost?
Yeah.
What about the ones that are yet going to be reached, harvested, and make it into the kingdom? So, even though it's getting more and more that we feel like righteous Lot, living amongst all that sin, even though we feel that way, we got to come back to center and say, but what about those that are lost that still need to be swept into the kingdom? And so then, instead of us feeling sorry for ourselves and saying, Lord Jesus, come back because I'm sick of this, I'm tired of it, which is kind of a, I'm preaching to myself now, you just come along if you want to. Kind of selfish if you really think about it. Because an eternity in hell is a horrible, horrible thing. And so we need to stay focused on Jesus and on the plan of salvation and reach all of the people that we can for Christ. It takes us being purposeful. If we don't tell them, who's going to? I thank God people told me. I was a little slow to learn. It took a few years for me to get it. But it did. And it was because people told me. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? That Jesus Christ came, died, rose again to save lost humanity. And he's returning to take his bride to be with him forever and ever and ever. I'm really thankful that he came the first time because redemption came through that. But I'm awful thankful he's coming again to deliver us out. Amen. Third major point. Isaiah had written in our text, a voice of one calling in verse 3. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. You know, God is pretty good at making people wait. It took over 500 years for John the Baptist to show up. 500 years. That's about 12 generations, give or take. Biblically, 40 years is a generation. But stop and think about generations for a minute. How much things can change in one generation? Okay, so with that thought in mind, okay, one generation is 40 years, biblically. How much have things changed in the world, and to narrow it down, in our culture as Americans in the last 40 years? Oh my gosh. It makes my head spin when I think about how bad things have, how much worse things have gotten in the last 40 years. If the people who lived long before microwaves and drive-through everything were impatient for the kingdom to come, how much more us in the fast-paced age with instant everything? How many times are we in conversations and say, talk about, well, this popular person. Oh, gee, I wonder how old they are. Well, just a minute, let me grab my phone, I'll Google it. Isn't that right? And we get the answer. fingertips in a matter of seconds. Anyone we want to Google, find out how old they are. Oh, well, what year was that they passed away? Well, just a minute, let me grab my phone, I'll Google it. When was that person born? Well, just a minute, let me grab my phone, I'll Google it. Everything's at our fingertips. Boy, I gotta find this piece or this part. Well, I know. I'll look online. You can find anything online. Unfortunately, you can also find a lot of bad stuff online. So we're very much a people that has gotten used to having everything instantaneously. Thank God nobody's figured out how to do drive-through brake jobs yet. But we sure got a lot of drive-through everything, don't we? Too often we lack patience as we wait for God to do things His way. God's not on Google. God is online with us when we are in relationship with Him, and He communicates with us in many different ways, but one of my favorite ways is through His Word, and also that still small voice right in here. You know what I'm talking about? When He whispers right in here. Right in here. And the way you discern whether that's yourself or another voice showing up as an angel of light, you know who I'm talking about, Lucifer. The best way to discern is, what I just heard, did that violate Scripture in any way? If it violates Scripture, that was a voice that was not God. But in discerning, as time goes by, we know the Lord's voice, and why should we be shocked for that? Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." So we should expect to know His voice. But we go through a time where we got to learn to discern. But we lack patience as we wait for God to do it His way. I am not by nature a patient person. God's working on me. Anybody else? My nature is just, I'm just not wired that way. I know, I'm impressed with people that are just amazingly patient. It blows my mind because I'm like, yeah, pitter patter, let's get at her, let's get this done right now. No waiting. What's this waiting? And God's like, my way. My way. So as we wait for Christ's return, as He told us to tarry, what He was saying is, keep at it about the Father's business. Keep at it. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep at it. Keep reaching out to the lost. Keep being a witness to people in our circles of influence that maybe don't know Him or maybe do, but just help them keep growing. Sow a few seed here and there of the Word. Everywhere we go, be mindful of what God might be doing in somebody's hearts and in ways that God wants to use us to continue to build the kingdom until He returns. Well, He's coming back, I assure you. I believe God's Word. If God's Word says it, I believe it. It's settled. Okay, I settled that a long time ago. God's Word says it, I believe it. God's Word tells us that He's coming back for His bride. And if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, You're part of that bride. But let's keep oil in our lamps. Amen. Too often, instead, we either look for ways to help God out, or we just give up altogether. Anybody ever trying to help God out? Come on now. This is church, truth. Abram and Sarai decided they would help God out because it was taking too long. That didn't go very well, did it? We're still paying the price today for that. You realize that, don't you? It goes back that far. Part of what we're dealing with in the world right now, and actually what Israel is dealing with, is the results of that disobedience birthed from impatience. Man, we'll help God out. Have you considered Hagar? And let's face it, I'm a guy. I look at Abram and I imagine Abram's like, okay. Bad choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying. He was a man. Human. His wife just said, have you considered Hagar? Well, I hadn't until now, but okay. All because they were sick of waiting for the promise. God don't require our help. He requires our obedience. Never, ever try to help God out because it'll blow up in your face. Always strive to be obedient to what He speaks to you. I was just talking about that still small voice. Always try to be obedient to what God speaks to you. In our culture, we tend to be very results-oriented. Is that true? Is that a fair statement? Go-to and can-do states of mind are usually rewarded in our culture. How many times do we see someone rewarded for saving the customer money instead of, or along with, saving the company money in the marketplace? Save the company money. I know for a fact when GE was here years ago in Morrison, GE was here, was a big employer. A lot of people had of good jobs for a number of years up at GE. It was a horrible thing when GE left. Okay? But I knew a lot of people that worked at GE, and one of the things I know about GE, and I know I just brought up GE because that stuck in my mind from years ago, but there's a lot of factories in different places that do this. I knew a guy that worked up there in GE, and at GE, if you came up with an idea that saved the company money, they would reward you for that financially. Okay? Which, that's kind of cool, right? Okay, well, he came up with an idea that saved the company quite a bit of money. Big shop floor area in that place, and so they had a lot of shop rooms. And they went through a lot of shop rooms. Push rooms, I'm talking about. Okay? Well, this guy I know, he went to his boss and he said, hey, you know, we could get twice as long out of these brooms if you just take three bolts out and turn this head around, rotate these heads, we could get twice as long out of these shop rooms. He was right, you know. Well, they rewarded him. He got money for that idea. I was like, man, that's pretty cool. You need any help? But there's all kinds of things that you can come up with that saves the company money. But how often does anybody reward anybody for saving the consumer money? It's weird, isn't it? We tend to focus on quick results as well. We're living in an instant culture, which means our culture, for the most part, has no long vision. Everything's right here. God knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. See, our short vision doesn't line up with God's vision that goes on forever. And that's why we end up discouraged, because it's taking too long. Unfortunately, sometimes giving up because it's taking too long. Now, I've been paying attention to this for quite some time now, and I have seen countless people, including myself on occasion, giving up right before the answer came when I was praying something through. And I've seen that happen to other people. Just finally getting to where I'm to the end of myself and just giving up right before the answer came. It's sad. I wish I wouldn't do that. I wish no one did that. God consistently focuses on the long term. We've got a long term God. See, that should be easy for us to understand, that we have a long term God, because He always was, He is, and He always will be. He has no beginning and no end. Now, I know that is hard to get our minds around. But it is what it is. It's true. As we are in this Advent season, it is wonderful every year to worship God, celebrate the coming of our Savior in the form of a newborn child laid in a manger, that would one day, when he was roughly 33 and a half years old, would pay the price for our sin. Yes, yours and mine. He would pay the price for our sin. And then after he did that, would reveal himself to many people, and then he went back to the Father and said, "I'll be back." Oh, he didn't say that. The idea was the same. I'll be back. And he's coming back. And it could be very soon. And this holiday season, this Christmas season, let's be extra purposeful in witnessing to people that we come in contact with. Amen? Yes. In conclusion, I want to read verse 10 and 11 of our text again with you. It says, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power," not weakness, "power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." So there's three words here I just want to focus in our closing. The Lord comes with power. See, he came in weakness the first time. A little baby is weak. No one can deny that. It's not going to be like that the second time. He's coming back in power. His reward is with him. His reward is with him. And his recompense accompanies him. What's recompense, you say? Well, it's compensation. Recompense is compensation. Or reimbursement would also be an accurate translation of that. Or repayment. He's returning with those who are in Christ's rewards. He's returning with the compensation. I think he's worth waiting for as patiently as we possibly can. Let's do that as we celebrate his birth this season. Is there anyone this morning that would say, I have never, ever made that commitment to Christ and invited him to be my Lord and Savior? If that speaks to you, I would invite you to stand up. I pray strength into your knees. And I pray that you walk up here, and I'll meet you here, and today I'll agree with you in prayer that Jesus Christ become your Lord and Savior. Just ask for forgiveness of sin. Commit to turning from those sins, and invite Jesus Christ to fill us with his Spirit and to walk with us for the rest of our lives. Is there anyone this morning? See anybody standing up? So every single 100% of the people here this morning are born again believers. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's stand together. Father, I just thank you for every man, woman, and child in this building today. Lord, we've looked into your word. We've discussed your word. But Lord, ultimately, we want to know you better and better with every day that goes by. Lord, reveal yourself to us, especially in this Advent season. I pray, Lord God, for fresh revelation for each and every one of us. And that, Lord, we will take that revelation and do something with it. To reach out to others, Lord God, as we look forward to your return for us. That we just be busy about the Father's business. Lord, bless us this week. Bring us back safely next weekend. Lord, also, we just pray for your blessing on the dinner and movie tonight as we gather together. We pray that you be glorified in all that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.